I'd like to introduce Brother Stephen Holt. He's our guest speaker this evening. He's come a long way here to share the message, so let's make him feel welcome and pay attention, okay? Amen.
How are we doing tonight? Good, good. Well, I'm glad to be here. How many think Ben's a great guy? A good thing about Ben is he's the same at work as he is here, I'm sure. He's just a good, caring guy. He cares about everybody, and you can tell the love of Christ is in him. And, you know, for a big guy who could be a ruffian, I'm glad he's saved, you know. So, you know, tonight I was thinking about and praying about what could we talk about that might be helpful to each and every one of us. You know, it's not about just saying something or getting up and opening the Bible and begin to say something. The Word is alive, and I appreciate that. But how many know whenever we begin to seek God and look for something that might impact our life, that results will follow? You know, it's so important that we realize that the Word of God can change our lives. And I think today, when I look at the big picture in life, it would have been easier for me in some places to give up than it would have been to push through. Sometimes it's easier to fall right back into the same routine than it is to drive through. Because how many know what's easy is just natural? And whenever we begin to just go down that natural course, it just feels comfortable. I got all my friends there. I got all my hangouts there. I know everything about this. This is who I am. This is what I do. And I'll tell you, I'm not standing here as somebody who read a book on it. I've been there. You know, I've lived a life where if I took my shirt off, I'm covered in tattoos all the way where you can't see. I've lived a rough life way back. But I've been 20 years with Christ, and I can tell you it makes a difference. Huh? It makes a big difference. And I'll never forget that day, because I remember that I went into an Easter actual Sunday service. My brother talked me into going. I didn't really have a big part of that at that time. I believed there was a God. I believed there was a devil. But I just wasn't living the life where I was going to go to church. But I decided to go. You know, he's my brother. He wanted me to go with him. So I went in there with a ponytail down to about right here and got in there. And I remember the pastor was talking about, if you believe in God, or if you believe there's a creator, then there's probably a heaven, right? And I thought, well, that makes sense to me. He said, well, then if there's a heaven, there's probably a hell, right? There's cops, there's robbers, there's salt, there's pepper, there's black, there's white, there's skinny, there's heavier, there's short, there's tall. If there's a heaven, there's probably a hell. And I don't know, it just made sense to me that day that if there is a hell, I don't want to go there. And it began to make sense to me. So today I want to talk about being an overcomer, if that's all right, because I think overcoming things is important in our day-to-day life. It takes a lot to keep fighting. It takes a lot to keep pushing, and it takes a lot to go against the grain. And if you be a Christian and you're going to walk the walk, you're going to have to fight, you're going to have to push, you're going to have to go against the grain. But how many know if we'll succeed at that fighting and that pushing, we can be more than a conqueror? Amen? Amen? Let me give you a couple facts here. How many ever heard of Wayne Gretzky? Wayne Gretzky has been quoted as saying, it's kind of ironic when I broke in at the age of 17, I was told I was way too small, too slow, and I'd never make NHL. He's now one of the most recognized names there is. Einstein was considered unteachable and a fool by his early teachers. Man, I about laughed when I read that. Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team, and Michael quotes, I failed over and over and over again in my life. That's how I succeed. Beethoven's music teacher told him he was a hopeless composer. Colonel Sanders, how many like Colonel Sanders? I do. He was told no by over 1,000 restaurants for more than a year while he lived in his car trying to sell a chicken recipe. And we all know his name today, because he wouldn't give up. Thomas Edison, I'm sure you've heard of him and all of his inventions. He was not only a lot of patents in the U.S., but the U.K., France, Germany, many places. When Thomas was 4 years old, he was sent home from school with a note. And the note told his mother that he was to be removed from school because, I hate this word, but the note said he was too stupid to learn. Thomas' mother said, now my son, we don't give up in this household. And how many know that today, phonographs and all these different telephones and all the things that we use, now we got them in pockets with computers on them. He started all that, right? But he was too stupid to go on. Send him home from school. When I think about things like that, one thing is certain in our life today. If we give up, we'll never be heard of. But if we keep pushing and we keep fighting and we keep trying to live the right life, I guarantee you there's greatness in it for each of us. Amen? I think the most important thing is maybe they'll never know my name. But how many know Jesus will? And when I walk into heaven and he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant, I'm going to be okay with that. I don't care if the world knows me or not, but as long as Christ, my Savior, knows me, that's important to me. We must fight and we must have a conquering attitude. I want to look at some scriptures, if you would. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. It says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charges of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again? Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Now, I like this part. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I heard a long line of lists there. Neither perils, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. Nothing can separate us. Why? Because in all these things, we are more than a conqueror. Is that right? Now, I don't know about you, but being more than a conqueror is pretty good. You know, just being a conqueror is pretty good news. But being more than a conqueror, that's pretty awesome. You know, I think a lot of us, guys and girls alike, when we go through life and we're growing up, sometimes we feel pretty mighty. We feel pretty tough. We feel pretty strong. And some people are. They're very strong and tough. But I'll tell you what, you want to show me somebody tough. Show me somebody that can say no to the flesh that's calling them. Show me somebody who can say no to drugs and alcohol and being caught up with this crew or doing this or doing that. That's where I see tough. It's so easy. Matter of fact, I look at it as a weakness if all I have to do is go right back into the same thing that I actually tell myself I don't want to do. How tough am I if the things I don't want to do, I keep doing, huh? But through Christ Jesus, we can be very strong. I remember one time I was at work and I'd not been saved very long. And I was walking outside of the trailer factory and I shut the door behind me. And a guy came up there and it almost hit him and I didn't see him. And he comes outside, he said, hey man, you want some of this? And I was like, oh God, give it to me. I do want some of that. I really do. You know, I really did inside. I was so aggravated. And I was walking with my lunchbox and I had my Bible in it. You know, I just got saved and I was just trying to walk with Christ. And I'm looking at my lunchbox and I'm like, oh, just go to the car, man. Just go to the car, you know. I sit out in my car and I literally got tears in my eyes. I was sitting there and inside I was saying, just go back over there and say, yeah, man, I want this, you know. I just sat there and man, it hurt me so bad. Have you ever had an incident like that where you knew you wanted to show them? Yeah, you don't talk to me that way, or you don't do this, or you don't do that. You don't cut me off in traffic. You know, you ever had one of those and you really wanted to be a man about it? That's what we thought, right? Well, I got home and I was telling my brother about it and I said, man, I just wanted to. And he goes, you know what? The Bible says when you're weak, he's strong. And it really hit me. I started thinking about it because see, it's what we allow Christ to do inside of us that gives us a strong position in life. It's not what we do. It's what he does in us. Amen. So I want this to be a life changer if you let it. And not because of anything I might say, but I believe in the Word of God. And I believe if we'll let the Word of God touch us, something can happen in us tonight, right? I want us to make a little prayer here. if you don't mind with me. And you can say it or you don't have to, but I'll say it like this. Father, let me go out different than I came in. Amen. Can that be our prayer tonight? Let me go out different than what I came in. Let this not just be another Monday night. Let me grab a hold of something that when I walk out of here, I've made a choice that some things are going to change. I used to tell my son that all the time. There are going to be some changes around here. But that's what we need to do, right? So let me get on to point number one. Point number one, it's more than you can do on your own. All right? It's more than you can do on your own. There's a lot to be said about having the right attitude. A lot to be said about believing in yourself. However, believing in yourself, as excellent as that is, it will only take you so far. You know, I mean, I think there's a lot of good to be had about listening to tapes and different things that are out there. But I say without Christ, it's kind of null and void, right? They're a good program, but it's kind of like this. You can have a headache, and maybe you roll down the window and you get some fresh air, you feel a little better. But once you take that aspirin, man, it just does something to you, right? So trying on your own is like that. It's a valiant effort, but once you get some Jesus in you, huh? There's a difference there, right? So it's a whole different story when you have Christ in you. Without Christ, we'll always come up short. Without Christ, you'll never meet your full potential. Without Christ, your victory, I believe, will only be for a season. See, I've seen drug addiction take down the strongest of men. I've seen alcoholism ruin the closest of families. I've seen depression take the happiest of people. And I've seen lust take down the strongest marriage. I tell you, there's all kinds of things out there that we face, and we're all individuals. But without Christ, I just don't see us overcoming them. You know, I seen a guy at work not too long ago, and we got him on video because he used to go around dancing. And I went up to him and I said, man, I said, you cut that rug, man, you've been doing good. And he was getting it, you know? And I was like, man, check him out. So I went up to him and I said, hey, where'd you get all those moves? You know, he's an older guy and he goes, oh, I used to do a lot of club and stuff. I don't do that no more. And I go, is that right? Happy. Man, the guy's so happy. Week and a half ago, he drove his car off a cliff and killed himself. Got in a fight with his daughter and committed suicide. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, this guy's all bubbly. He's always laughing. He's dancing all over. And here's what I got to say about that. The devil loves to work his way in and become a snare to people. And we don't know what they're carrying on the inside. See, but Christ could have made that difference. And we don't want it to tear us down. So why is this that so many things can happen if we have Christ? Because in Romans, the Bible says in 8:37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, I realize that we'd all like to say I'm more than a conqueror. But I want you to notice the most important part of this verse. It happens right at the end. It says, through Christ. It says we're more than conquerors through Christ. You see, there's no conqueror without the through him. It doesn't exist without Christ. The way we get to be a conqueror is through him that loved us. Amen? So without Christ, we can't even be saved from a fiery hell, let alone whip the devil. Isn't that right? Did anybody believe that tonight? I do. I really do. So here's what we have. Not only, I want to get you this. Not only have Christ, but give him control. Now that's hard. That's really hard. We fall right back into the same routines. I've done it. I've slipped up. I've been driving. I said, look at this guy. And I'm like, man, you know, you're not supposed to act that way. Come on, man. You know, and that's okay as long as we ask him for help. But none of us are perfect. But I can tell you without him, we're going to stray way the other way. I want to tell you a little story here. There was a man who told the story. I wrote it down. It says, some years ago, he was learning how to fly. He said, my instructor told me to put the plane into a steep, extended dive. I was totally unprepared for what was about to happen. After a brief time, the engine stalled. The plane began to plunge out of control and soon became evident that the instructor wasn't going to help me at all. After a few seconds, which seemed like an eternity, my mind began to function again. I quickly corrected the situation. Immediately, I turned to the instructor and began to vent my frustrations on him. He very calmly said unto me, there's no position you'll get this plane into that I can't get you out of. If you want to learn how to fly, get up there and get some. And I read that and I thought, how much like us today? There's no situation that God can't help us out of. But how many know if we want to fly, if we want to soar, if we want to be above our problems, we got to get out there and get us some. Isn't that right? And the only way we can do that is if we have the pilot. And that's Christ. It's the through Him that makes the conqueror exist. See, without Christ, we're going to come up short. Today, it's not that someday you can be. It's not that one day when I get it all together, I'll commit to Christ when I get everything figured out. See, that day won't come. Without Him, let's not wait. God's not saying, well, throw your fishing pole in there, you catch a fish, my goodness, it come back, it's already scaled, it's already cleaned, it's already... He never said that, right? We come in as we are. He takes us from that point. He begins to make the changes. It's very interesting when you see a young Christian who decides to get into church, no matter their age. If they give it all, you can watch them. Their life will change. Their appearance will change. Their talk will change. Their walk will change. Things they listen to will change. Things they watch will change. It doesn't happen on the next day. Sometimes it does. But there's this journey that they begin walking. And why is that? Because they begin to surrender all those items to Christ. They got the more than a conqueror through Him, not through me. See, I can't do none of this. I can't do anything without Him. But with Him, I can say no to all kinds of things. And I can say yes to all kinds of things. It's important today. So if I falter, if I fail, if I make a mess of things, it's probably exactly what was going to happen. Because I got to give it to God, let Him have control, right? So in 1845, there was an ill-fated Franklin expedition that sailed from England to find a passage across the Arctic Ocean. The crew, loaded with two sailing ships, with a lot of things they didn't need. 1,200 volume library, fine china, crystal goblets, all kinds of sterling silver for each officer with his initials engraved on the handles. Amazingly, each ship took only 12-day supply of coal for the engines. The ship began trapped in a vast frozen plain of ice. After several months, Lord Franklin died. The men decided to trek in safety in small groups, but none of them survived. Two officers had pulled a large sled more than 65 miles across the treacherous ice. When the rescuers found their bodies, they discovered that the sled was filled with silver. Those men contributed to their own demise. And you know why that is? Because they could have packed coats and blankets and more coal and things like that that would have been profitable for a freezing ice treachery journey. But no, they wanted to hang on to the silver. And they wanted to hang on to all the goods and all the gold and everything. But how many know that sometimes we do the same thing? Huh? We want to hang on to those evil thoughts that hinder us, those bad habits that drag us down, those grudges we won't let go. Somebody did me some wrong song. You know, we want to keep singing it. We want to keep talking it. We want to keep remembering it. We want to hang on to the drugs instead of reaching for the glory. And that's how we get into these predicaments so many times. Here's these men dragging silver. I don't know about you, but if I was laying in ice, I don't want to cuddle up to silver. Metal's cold. Right? So what do I want? I want a coat. I want some comfort. I want some things like that in the natural world. But how many know that's where we're at in our Christian walk? I need the things of God. I don't need the things of this world. Right? So that's what we need to do. If you get anything today, I want you to get this. The creator of all you see, because I believe He made it all. Amen? The maker of the heavens and earth, the one that breathed the life into your lungs, lives inside of you. Now, I don't know. That's just miraculous to me. The Bible says, through Christ, and who's in us. Can you imagine God Almighty creating this world, and on that sixth day, kneeling down on the freshly mud banks, and carving out man, and then breathing into his nostrils, and it comes to life? The creator of everything who threw the stars and said, stay there. Place the moon that if the gravity changes one iota, that there would be tidal waves all over, but He said, don't move from there. You imagine that God living inside of you. Why can't we be more than a conqueror with all that? We can, right? So it's amazing. So far, we've learned that it's more than you can do on your own. Another point real quick. I hope I'm not taking too long. Is this all right? All right, so how many of you remember David? Little David. David and Goliath. So I was looking at him a little bit because David had what we need today, and that's a conquering attitude. You know, it's one thing to realize we can't do it on our own. It's a whole other thing to have the right attitude. And we got to have the right attitude. David was just a shepherd boy, you know, and David spake to the men and stood by him. And 1 Samuel 17, it goes through the whole list. And I'm not going to read it all, but I want to get a few points out here. It says, and I went out after him, and he said, when I was tending my father's sheep, there came a lion and a bear, and they took the lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and I smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard, and I smote him and slew him. Thy servant David has slain both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And then we find out that David talked a little bit further, and he looked at this Philistine, he looked at Goliath, and he seen him defying God, and he stood up against him. Now, keep in mind, here's David, just a little boy, and old enough to be doing his father's business, but we look at him, and he came up to the soldiers who were all standing there listening to this. And David said, why are we allowing this? Why is this going on? David, in his mind, he didn't know any different. He had a conqueror's attitude. He just thought to himself, this shouldn't be happening. I'll fight. And why? Because David had confidence, not in himself, but David had confidence in his God. You see, David was asked to tend his father's flock. And a lion and a bear would come. And David, it said, grabbed that lion by his beard and smote him, took the lamb back out that he stole, and put it back in the flock. Now, I don't know about you, in my mightiest of day, I don't want nothing to do with a lion. I don't want nothing to do with a bear. But one of the reasons he was able to do that is because, get this now, he was about his father's business. God said, I want you to do this job. And anything that came against that job, he was confident in Jesus Christ because he knew that he assigned him that. Got that? So that means that he walked in faith because the assignment God gave him, he knew that he could complete. What did God assign us today? He wanted us to be a Christian, right? So did he equip us for that? He most certainly did. There's only one way that we'll fight the fight, and that is with Christ in us. You see, it wasn't David's first time trusting God. And if we'll fight today, then we've got to trust God. Isn't that right? So that's how David did it. Imagine how many of us would stand up against not only a lion and a bear, but some great giant down in the valley. The Bible tells us that this guy had fought from his youth. That's what he did. He was trained at war. Here's something awesome. The Bible also says in Samuel 17 that when it came time to fight, it said David ran at him. He just ran at him. He told him, today I'll give your flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field, and I will take your head off your shoulders. And then he said, well, let's go get it. And he took off running at the giant. I'm floored. I'm thinking, what's going on with this guy? How could he just take off and run? Because he had grown up. This ain't his first time trusting God. He had fought the lion. He had fought the bear. He had confidence in God. He didn't have confidence in his muscles. He didn't have confidence in how good he was at certain things. He had confidence in God who said, go get him. And I'm telling you tonight, it's the same. God said, you can whip this and you can whip that. And you don't have to be a slave to this, that, or another. And what he's saying is, go after it. Run after it. You can do it. It's amazing what can happen through Christ Jesus. I can't tell you the lives that I've seen change in my years working for God. I mean, it's amazing what I've seen. And I mean, in the altars. And I'm not talking about this two-day thing where you feel good for a while. I'm talking about people who change their life and live it that way today. It's awesome. It's amazing. But you can only do it with God. David did not wake up one day and decide he'd fight a giant. David had been practicing this. David had a conqueror's attitude. With God, David slayed the giant. How many know with God, the sea was opened up for Moses? Huh? How many know the three Hebrew boys went into the fiery furnace with God and they came out and said they didn't even smell of smoke? How many know Daniel went down to the lion's den and lay down by the lions? Huh? Didn't even touch him. How many know Peter walked on the water of the raging sea? Now, I don't know about you tonight, but sometimes I feel like I'm in the midst of a raging sea of tribulation. But I know that if God can call Peter out there and have him walk, and he walked on water till he got his eyes on the surrounding waves and the mighty winds, and then he began to sink. But I'll tell you today that if we keep our eyes on Christ, you can walk above all of it. You can walk above all of it. You know, I think about trusting in God, and if we trust in God, you're more than a conqueror. But we won't get that trusting in ourselves. I mean, I just want you to get that today, because I think if we leave here and we pray and we read our Bibles, I don't care if you read one verse a day, if you do something more than you did yesterday, you'll be blessed in it. You'll be blessed in it. There's a man who lived on Long Island. He was able one day to satisfy a lifelong ambition by purchasing himself a barometer. He wanted to know what the weather was doing. When the instrument arrived at his house, he was extremely disappointed to find that the indicating needle appeared to be stuck, pointing to the sector marked hurricane. After shaking it up a little bit vigorously several times, as a new owner, he sat down and wrote a scorching letter to the store. He said the following morning, on his way from his office in New York, he mailed the letter. That evening after work, he returned to Long Island. He found the barometer was missing, along with his house. And I got to thinking about that. Although that's a funny story, how many know that we got to trust what God's telling us? His needle's saying do this. And sometimes, well, now God, you got to understand. I've been here and I know what's best for me. Now, we might not confess that, but we do it sometimes. But we got to trust the needle of God. If he says go that way and stay away from this, we got to go that way, right? Amen. So we have confidence in Christ, and we can run at a problem. Too many times I believe that we might think things like, well, I'll just wait it out. It'll get better. It don't get better, folks. Number three, God did not say he'll remove all these things or immune us to any hardships in life. God said, in all things, we are more than conquerors. Colossians 1:23 says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting, in cold and nakedness. 2 Corinthians 4 says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. So God never told us that we would become a Christian and never see another problem. Oh man, that'd be great. Man, I think that'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? We just go in there, we just kneel a knee, Lord, come into my heart. All right, everything's glorious, let's get on out of here. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be just amazing? But the Bible doesn't say that it's like that, right? I just read the testimony of Paul, and I'll tell you what, the things he'd been through, it's amazing. Attacked by beasts, cast out in shipwreck, beaten with rods, in death often. I mean, that man went through a lot for the cause of Christ. And I'm looking at this, and I keep on thinking, Jesus even told us in John 16, he said, in this world, you'll have trouble, but take heart or be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So you might ask, why? Why am I facing so many problems? Why does it always happen to me? Why am I going through this mess? Why does it seem like I'm always in trouble with something? And not to be abrupt tonight, but I think we're asking the wrong question. I think the right question would be more along the lines of, why am I not overcoming these things? It's not why am I going through it, it's why am I not overcoming it? right? If we believe that God Almighty, who we talked about, who spoke everything we see, touch, and feel into existence, lives inside of us, then what could it be that could stop us? The scripture said, if God be for me, what could be against me? So the right question is, what do I need to do, Lord? I'm more than a conqueror through you. The Bible says that nothing can be against me. No weapon forged against me shall prosper. I could give you scriptures all day. It's full of the promises of God. And here's the thing. The question isn't why me, why me, why me? It's why not? Why not? So a young, it's kind of funny, but a young fellow wanted to be a star journalist so bad, but he lived in a small town. Not much possibility in a small town. One day the dam upstream broke and the town was flooded. He got out his rowboat and headed out to look for a story. He said, this is my chance. He found a lady sitting on a rooftop and he tied up the boat and he told her what he was trying to do. He wanted to find a story. I want to be famous. They both watched on the rooftop as various items floated by. The lady said, now there goes a story. The young man stated, no, that's not a story that'll make me famous. Finally, there was a hat that went floating by. And the young man does a 180 turn, and he goes upstream a ways, and he does another 180 coming back on it, and he says, there's my story, there's my story. The lady says, oh, that's no story. That's my husband. He said just this morning that come hell or high water, I'm going to mow the grass. You know, I read that, and I thought, man, I'll tell you, that was determination. But how much like the Christian that we got to make a choice like that, huh? We can't just say, well, I'm in a bad mood, so I'm not going to live for him today. Huh? We got to be able to say, come hell or high water, I'm walking with Jesus Christ. No matter what comes against me, I'm going to keep on doing my Bible study. No matter if I don't feel like I'm going to go, I could probably call somebody and get a ride. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to say a little prayer. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to read a little verse. I'm going to do something that builds my inner man instead of just letting the wiles of this world take us down, right? This guy said, I'm mowing the grass. I made a promise. I tell you today, everything we've got in this Bible is so important to us and we can be overcomers. But we got to get some of that in here, right? Once we put it in there, then it can come out. Amen? So I think about that. And remember, you're exceedingly more than a conqueror, but only in Christ. In Christ. And that's who you are. Do you believe that? You do? I think that's awesome that you believe that because it's the truth. Amen? When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. So today, as I'm looking at this, I think about David, a young man who had the right attitude, who was confident knowing who he was in God. He knew that God made a promise so he could stand to it, right? So we see those. The right questions today, we got to ask that. Not why is this happening to me, but why is this getting me down? What can I... Oh, God, I want your help on this. You know, prayer does some amazing things. I went to the hospital the other day and as we get ready to close, I've got a friend up there that we got a pack of guys. We all ride our Harleys and he's a mechanic. He's a great guy. I've met him a few times and I heard he was in the hospital. He had some cancer and some things. I thought it was healing, but it got worse and they took him back in there. And I was driving home from work and I just couldn't go home. I was like, go up there. You know, go up there and talk to him about Christ. Go up there and just... And I thought, well, I'll go visit him. You know, that's how we do. I got up there and I'm standing in the room and I started talking to him a little bit and we started talking about motorcycles and things he's building and some welding he's doing. And then I couldn't shake it. You know, I felt like, man, you got to talk to him about Christ. I mean, he's got days. He's not going to be here. And I know that, you know, he's real rough. And I thought, man, oh man, hey, you know what? Here it goes. You know, get mad or do whatever, but I'm not leaving here without at least telling you that there's a Savior. And I don't want you to part from this world and go to the next place because I may know that it's not just a story about the fire. So I asked him, I said, do you know the Lord? And he said, well, I'd like to think so. I've been through a lot in my life. I said, well, will you pray with me? And he just reached up, grabbed my hand and prayed with me. And I was thankful for that. I left. I go home and 2 days later I get a phone call and they said, hey, they unplugged him. He's got like 3 days. He's not going to make it. So we all went back again. Man, there was like 17 Harleys in the hospital parking lot. We all just gained up there. And me and about four of our brothers, we walked up there and I met his best friend in the hallway. And this was Friday. And he said, he started crying. He said, and this guy don't cry about anything. He said, he goes, you know, I came up here and I wasn't going to because I visit him every day and I had a lot going on, but I decided to stop by anyhow. And he said, I'm so thankful I did. He said, man, Mike told me that he prayed with you and he accepted Jesus Christ and he's not worried now. And I thought to myself, here's a guy that he lived a pretty rough life. But Christ came inside of him. And in his last moments, and he started telling others about what Christ had done. You know, I mean, the impact that Christ can have in us is amazing. If he can take a sinner like me and take me to heaven, man, drugs ain't nothing. Alcohol ain't nothing. Any kind of lust or any kind of thing like that, that ain't nothing. I don't care how long you've lived with something. I don't care if you're just striving to be a better person. It's nothing to Christ if he's in you. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer if you don't mind. Lord, if there's something, an obstacle, an addiction, a relationship, a fear, something that's blocking me, maybe that's overwhelming to me, God, I want you to help me be an overcomer today. Lord, it's you who can do your will in our lives. Lord, it doesn't mean that we won't have troubles. It means that you, if you live inside of us, will overcome that trouble. Father, we pray that your Spirit would plant the truth deep within our hearts. We believe, Lord, that we shall overcome our problems, for we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Lord, we're not victims. Lord, help us fight our battles. With a faith-filled attitude, help us depend fully upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Fill us, Lord, so we can overcome. Give us victory, Lord, to anything that might destroy or oppose you. Lord, we glorify your name and we ask that you would be in our hearts today. Lord, if we don't have a personal relationship with you, Lord, I'm so thankful it is just that simple to ask you to forgive our sins and come into our hearts and live. And Lord, I ask not only that you live, but help us tonight, Lord. Help us be overcomers. Help us be more than conquerors. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for having me tonight. I appreciate being here. I appreciate it. Thank you.